With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hey, welcome to Stone Cold Strohs. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Sports Talk 790's Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. On today's episode, spring is in the air. That means the temp is getting warmer and the sound of leather popping in Florida. We'll give some early thoughts, whether Dana Brown has done enough this offseason. We'll give our reaction to some quotes coming out of Toronto about a recently departed Astro by trade, not death. And early thoughts on the ABS system, and that is the challenge system, not the brakes in your car. Spoiler, I'm in favor of both. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. Spring training is underway, so it's time to overreact on exhibition games. Not strong outings from some of the fringe pitchers like Rodery Munoz and Jason Alexander. Flip side, some nice appearances from Mike Burrows and Kaiwei Tang. Outside of Jeremy Pena, the veteran starters on the field have mostly been MIA and will probably remain that way for a while. But it's exciting to have baseball back. Before we get into our other topics today, just give me some general thoughts on early results from spring.
Well, really, really early results. I'm going to go with the non-result Josh Hader nowhere near a mound. As we discussed a week or two ago, he's not going to be ready by opening day at this rate. So that's $19 million of salary, none of which will be earned over whatever short period of time into the regular season. Fingers crossed, short period of time. Tatsuya Imai is the guy I'm by far most curious about to see. The first outing, of course, but 3-4 outings as you build up. Jason Alexander, I just don't take seriously as a threat to really make the roster. He had a wonderful run last season, but that was kind of a fluky. You mentioned Rodery Munoz, who was the Rule 5 draftee from the Reds. The way it works, the Astros paid $100,000 for him. I don't see a compelling reason for him to make the roster. The Reds can then get him back for $50,000. So the Astros would have spent $50,000 to take a look and decide the guy's not worthy of making the 26. I just think they have enough viable options for their bullpen. Though, along with Hader, Aniel De Los Santos does not appear to be one of them by opening day, as he might be even behind Hader, I guess, in the reports. But Hader's the big one because he's counted on as the closer and makes the big money. So that's the early, at least somewhat, downer of the spring. 4 or 5 games in. Oh, no, the Astros hadn't had a win through 3 games. So what? The big picture results don't matter. A game here, a game there. Cam Smith strung together 3 weeks that won him a big league job because the Astros had gaping hole in right field in the aftermath of Kyle Tucker's departure. The Astros have to have their fingers crossed that they don't still have or newly have or again have a gaping hole in right field or left field.
Or any field. For me, Mike Burrows, as advertised, I was really impressed what I saw. You're really only expecting to see an inning when these guys go out there. He was so efficient. He gave you 2 innings, a four-seam fastball getting up to 96 miles an hour. He said he's trying to work on a sinker as well to complement that. I saw that. I saw that one at 94 miles an hour. I'm glad they have the radar guns going during spring because I'm curious about this stuff. Got to see his changeup. Man, it is legit. It's kind of a Vulcan-type changeup. You can tell he throws it whenever he feels like. He's got great command of it. Saw a little bit of the breaking ball, too, so very impressed. It's limited, but I just wanted to see what his stuff looked like. I only saw him in that one game last year against the Astros, and that was so long ago. I kind of wanted a refresher, and I got that. So I love what I'm seeing from Burrows and just the approach. Dana Brown, hey, we got to take more pitches. We got to walk more, stop chasing stuff out of the zone. And you see Zach Cole picked up a couple walks the other day, 3 stolen bases. He even stole third base. So I like that. And then how about Joey Loperfido? We talked about last week how they were happy that his strikeouts went down by 10%. But I brought up in 96 at-bats last season, he only walked 4 times. Well, the other day in one game, Joey Loperfido walked twice. He had half as many walks in one game as he did all of last season. So maybe some of these things are starting to sink in. Maybe we'll see a more patient approach, at least from some of the young guys trying to make the club.
Of course, a major factor in statistics, even more so early in spring training, you're facing guys who are unlikely to make the big leagues. You're facing guys who are maybe ticketed for AAA or even AA. So extrapolating statistics, certainly this early, is kind of a pointless process. But in the big picture, it means that we're about 4 weeks to opening day. So that's the best news of all.
That is the best news. And Charlie, going back to your thoughts on Hader, like, I'm old enough to remember when the comment section flamed us, how we were overreacting to Hader. And look, if we want to call it a setback or an unrelated injury, here we are, opening week of spring training. He's still soft tossing off of a flat mound. So I got to say, until I see him resume pitching at a normal level and see him back on the field, I still have a little bit of concern about it for all the reasons that you outlined. I did chuckle a little bit reading the quote from Dana Brown telling Cesar Salazar, putting his arm around him and saying, look, right now you're our backup catcher. Okay, I guess in that sense, did he tell Joey Lograffito, right now you're our lefty bat in the outfield? I kid, but this team went into this offseason needing pitching, a reliable lefty bat in the outfield, a backup catcher, and to figure out what they're going to do with this infield surplus. For pitching, they brought in Emi, Burrows, and a lot of other pieces, so we'll check that box. Chandler Rome's projected opening day roster does not include Isak Paredes, even though he's one of their best hitters and still on the team. They traded one lefty for another in Lograffito and then lost Caratini in free agency. So I have to take the temp of the panel, and as always, I invite the thoughts of everyone watching, but did Dana Brown do enough this offseason, even though he's really only 1-for-4 in addressing the needs that he himself outlined over the winter?
He had some limitations, but it certainly was not overall a good offseason for the Astros. I mean, they did nothing to upgrade the lineup. That really rides on a healthy Yordan Alvarez giving them 130-plus games, and there's your left-handed bat, and there's your upgrade. You look at the projected lineup, and as discussed here a week or two ago, you're facing Yusei Kikuchi, the Angels' southpaw opening day, and Isak Paredes isn't going to be in your lineup because Yordan has to DH, so someone else is in left field. And that's just silliness to me. And I know some will say, well, Paredes was actually better against righties last season, but that's not a career-long pattern. He's volleyed back and forth. Bottom line is he's one of their better offensive players. 3-year body of work, actually, going back to when he was with the Rays. He snuck with the Cubs briefly, but course what he did with the Astros last season. So it's going to be an ongoing storyline unless the Astros lineup surprisingly collectively mashes more than it does on paper. In no powerhouse lineup is Carlos Correa a cleanup hitter. Coming off last season, no way Yiner Diaz is a 5-hole hitter. And then you have Walker at 6, and then question mark, question mark, question mark, 7, 8, 9. So, look, it's a long season for a reason. Plenty of other teams have lots of questions. The Cleveland Guardians wound up winning their division last season despite scoring the fewest runs in the American League. They added not one offensive player to their roster in the offseason. So, hey, if the Astros are a little bit, and how they're perceived now, a victim of a decades-long worth of success, so be it. Measuring them against their juggernaut rosters, they're just not close to that anymore, but they're not the Angels. They're not the White Sox. We'll see if they evolve into a team that's playing meaningful games in late September. That's certainly absolutely in play for them.
Yeah, I mean, by Dana Brown's standards for what he wanted to improve, no, he hasn't done what you were hoping he would do. Only the pitching has he really come in and addressed that. They've got like 10 guys that could fight for the starting rotation right now. So I think they brought in like 6 arms with Weiss and Pearson and, you know, Emi and Burrows. I could go on and on. So they did address that. They brought in a lot more depth for pitching. That's great. The left-handed bat thing, we'll see. He just told SiriusXM that, you know, a deal for a left-handed bat could technically still happen. So I guess it's wait and see on that. But he also mentioned that it's going to be on Espada to juggle the lineup and get Yordan into left field. And just from the outside looking in, to me, it looks like Dana's trying to lean on Espada to to fix his inability to balance this lineup and bring in another left-handed bat. They're stuck with Walker. Nobody is really looking for him. Jake Myers, nobody seemed to want him either. It's a work in progress. We'll see what happens, but I don't know. It's very apparent to me, Espada, with his comments about, I'm going to do everything in my power to put Yordan in DH, and Dana Brown saying, we got to get Yordan in left field to make sure that Paredes can be in the DH role. I'm not so sure they're seeing eye to eye on this, but that's where we are at this point. There's still more time, but obviously he didn't get it all done. You haven't gotten the backup catcher. And I mean, if it's Salazar, it's not the end of the world, but no way around it. That's a big step down from Caratini.
Yeah, the backup catcher market was terrible once Caratini got co-starter money, at least from the Twins, and a raise over what he made with the Astros. The Astros had no interest in going there. Cesar Salazar starting 40, 50 games behind the plate is not ideal, but I wasn't big on pursuing Jonah Heim or Christian Vasquez or the Dreck largely that was out on the market. Plenty of teams don't have a competent starting catcher as an offensive performer. Not that Yiner was all that competent a season ago. Yiner, from what he was as a rookie, has devolved into a huge disappointment going into his fourth season. But within the universe of catchers, as an offensive player, he's not that bad.
Yeah, 20 home runs, but he's a little banged up. I know he's participating in some drills, but he's not running full speed yet with that foot injury.
Yeah, and you wonder if the Loper-Fido trade had come sooner, like maybe in the winter, if they maybe would have been more in on Caratini, given they would have had a little bit more flexibility. You wonder if maybe Caratini would have taken less to stay on the team. Who knows? Backup catcher aside, Josh, you mentioned it. Yiner still hobbled from winter ball with that injury to one of the feet. I circle back to what we talked about before, which was, I will admit that Dana inherited a mess, but that was 3 seasons ago. It's 2026 and the roster is more challenged now than it has been. The farm is still a farm. Apparently, we're not the only ones who've noticed. Jason Stark did his annual spring survey in which he asked baseball insiders about various topics. They voted Houston the fifth highest in least improved teams. Granted, the team hopes, Charlie, as you said, that some of that improvement comes from health. But with this being the contract year for Dana Brown, you do have to wonder what his future with this team will be after this season. The Sanchez trade was a flop. The first one, not the second one. That remains to be seen. There's a world in which the Sanchez trade is a flop on two fronts. And then depending on how they handle Paredes, the Tucker trade could ultimately be a flop with Cam regressing, Wesneski's injury, and then whatever they get for Paredes, or if you can only play Paredes part-time. That's still not ideal. Before we move on, I want to work in a word for Nat Lapman at Cruise Planners. Nat has outdone himself with this one. He's got a 5-knot Caribbean cruise in September on one of Royal Caribbean's Voyager-class ships. I've never been on one of these, but I hope to remedy that soon because this is nothing short of a luxury resort on water. It's got a Flow Rider surf simulator, water slides, ice skating rink, rock climbing, sports court, glow-in-the-dark laser tag, if that's your deal, and of course, multiple pools and hot tubs and relaxing adult-only areas. That just means it's quiet. Get your minds out of the gutter. The main dining room and Windjammer buffet are included, and many more amenities than I can fit in the time allotted here. The best part is, it's for two people, 5 nights, starting at just $900, around $900. If you want to upgrade to a balcony room, those start for less than $1,300. That's for two people for 5 nights. Remember, Nat's low price guarantee. So if the price goes down after you book, your cost automatically adjusts. You can call Nat or Jenny at 281-892-1150 or visit stonecoldcruise.com. That's cruise singular, stonecoldcruise.com. This isn't some giant corporation that's going to steal your data. This is an Astros fan, a loyal Stone Cold Stros listener, and a dream vacation expert in Nat Lapman. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on Stone Cold Stros.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
All right. So speaking of things I'm sure Astros fans won't overreact to is Jesus Sanchez seems to be fitting in well early in Toronto or with Toronto. He had his first RBI of spring training. One of the more interesting quotes came from Jays hitting coach David Popkins. This is the guy that Correa really likes. He met him in Minnesota. Popkins is now in Toronto. He had a quote regarding Sanchez. He said he went over to Houston and they had some ideas for him to change some things. And I think they didn't quite resonate with him personally and who he is as a hitter. It kind of went more towards weakness prevention than his strengths. So we're shifting him back more towards, we want you to do what you do well. Let's start there. And then we can go elsewhere. We're just trying to see him have rhythm again and get his swing off. We're excited. So we're used to hearing all the glowing praise about the pitching coaches in Houston and advanced scouting, but we've noted the lack of hitting development in the organization. After hearing that quote from Popkins, do you think perhaps this highlights or underscores one of the weaknesses that Houston hopes to have addressed by bringing in OC Dan Hanigan and hitting coach Victor Rodriguez? And do you think we'll see tangible fruit from the overhaul in that area?
If you're an Astros fan, that's an annoying quote to hear. But they turned it all over at the big league roster, so no need chewing one's nails that they're not going to change anything. They changed them all out. Now, at the same time, Troy Snitker goes and becomes the Mets hitting coach. The Texas Rangers for hunger offense of the last couple of years, they think Alex Cintron is going to help because the Rangers hired Cintron. So to me, this circles back to it's more the carpenter than the tools. It's on the individual hitter. But if you're giving him particularly bad advice or, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. It's broke, but you're making it worse in trying to fix it. So I don't think they got the cure-all with the new staff guys, but I do think it was time for turnover. But this is just the major league level, and I don't know what goes into the nuts and bolts of the best organizations developing hitters from the low minors on up. But if the Astros have systemic problems in cultivating top-shelf offensive talent or just good major league offensive talent, it starts in the minor leagues.
It does. And we haven't seen a lot of those picks turn out to do much in quite some time. It's just the state of where we are. But it's funny you say that, Brandon, about how having him continue doing what he's good at. That's the stuff we hear about pitchers that come over to the Astros. It's more about what are your best pitches? Let's lean into those more. This gets a lot of swing and miss. So that's curious. I wonder if it's a different type of message for the hitters versus the pitching coaches. I don't know. And it's a whole new staff. And if you're Sanchez, hey, the team that went to the World Series, they wanted me. So that feels good. And this time of year, everybody's happy. You haven't struck out in a big moment, in a big game yet. They're happy to have Sanchez. Sanchez is glad to be wanted. And after how bad it was with the Astros, I'm sure he's happy to have a change of scenery. So we'll see, but it's early on. It's the honeymoon phase for all these guys with new teams. Nothing's really happened yet. You're just in early spring training.
Yeah, this reminds me of the quotes that came from Dan Hanigan when he got the OC job and was talking about how the organization had this hitting Bible, but there weren't really systems in place to make sure that from top to bottom, from the minor leagues to the top, that everybody was on the same page in implementing this database of information that the teams gathered over so many years. So hopefully that's a step in the right direction organizationally, in which they can all be on the same page and have coaches from top to bottom saying the same things and reinforcing the same things and leaning into the things that work. I also wonder too, in some ways, isn't that saying the same thing when you're saying about pitching? It's like lean into your strengths. Well, isn't that also kind of weakness mitigation as well? I guess it just depends on how you interpret the comments. But I think coaching itself comes into play more, in my opinion, when guys are young and they're still adapting to big league pitching, or whether you've got veterans in slumps. But there's a lot of veterans on this team that I don't really think you're going to be able to teach old dogs, new tricks. Now, some of the more cerebral guys like Correa and Bregman, they definitely find value in those guys. I don't know who will be, but whoever can coach up some of these guys like Yordan and Walker, who struggle hitting in Daikin, that would be infinitely valuable to this team. I don't know what it is, but that ballpark seems to bring out the best in some hitters and then the worst in others. Now, Charlie, if you're looking for heavy equipment to bring out the best in what you do and you need the equipment to do that, who should they talk to?
That'll be Alvin Equipment. 1952, the year Mr. Potato Head first hit the stores. 1952, also the year Alvin Equipment opened its doors. Proven quality, three generations strong, family-owned business. From tractors and zero-turn mowers, compact track loaders, excavators. If it's a Kubota, Alvin Equipment has it. The oldest Kubota dealer on the Texas Gulf Coast. Parts department, service department as well. Alvin Equipment, 281-331-3177. Online, alvinequipment.com. For all things Kubota, let them know you heard it on Stone Cold Stros.
Shout out to Alvin Equipment and Mr. Potato Head.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
So one of the more intriguing aspects of 2026... the 2026 season is the implementation of the ABS challenge system. We've already seen an abundance of overturned calls very early in spring training. The Yankees were like 6-for-7 in challenges on Tuesday. The Pirates and Sox game had like 5 overturned calls in the first 4 innings. Some of them were not close to being the correct calls by the umps. Another in the Astros-Mets game was just a millimeter off. So it is interesting to see the system being implemented in its early stages here. I love that we're at least getting progress, but I do have to ask, it just really seems like we're headed towards a world in which all balls and strikes will be eventually called by a robot. And I know America loves a good middleman, but do we still need one in baseball?
Well, it's certainly not needed. And while it's part of the fiber of the game, it's not an essential fiber. Right, a part of the game was the old rhubarb and a manager coming out and arguing with the umpire. That's gone from the game. Look, you could have some guy dressed up in a giant bunny rabbit suit or a bikini model or whatever you want to just throw new balls out to the pitcher after foul balls. Do you absolutely need the human touch, the physical presence of an umpire? No, you do not, but I don't think we're close to going to all computerized strike zone. Though when tested for limited games in the minor leagues, it worked pretty smoothly. And as we've seen early on in spring training, 15 to 20 seconds is all it takes to execute.
Yeah, it goes by really fast. And I think it's important to point out too, you mentioned 6 or 7 challenges in some of these games. They're encouraging all their players to do it as much as possible in spring training just because they want to figure this out and try it a bunch of times and just kind of see how it happens. Work all the kinks out now. So I don't think we'll see as many challenges once the real bullets start flying and you only get the 2 and then that's it. And I think the other thing is the players just have to – they have to get used to it and they have to be quick. In the Astros game, I think it was on Sunday – there was an opportunity to win the game. Couple guys on base, and the Astros player took a close strike 3 call that could have been a ball, and he just didn't challenge it in time. That was a situation. There was no downside. If you lose the challenge, who cares? You lose the game. But if you win the challenge, you have another opportunity to win the game. So they just got to try it a little bit and get quick because it goes by fast. And those umpires, if you don't quickly challenge, they're not going to wait around for you to question their call and let a robot tell them if they're doing their jobs right or not. So I think it's good for all the guys. I like it for baseball. Let's find out if you get it right or not. And if you're sure it's a strike, go ahead and say so. But if you miss it, you miss it. So we got the pitch clock. Now we have this. I'm glad to see the game evolving a little bit.
The average big league game, the home plate umpire misses give or take about a dozen ball strike calls. How many of those are clear enough that you will use a challenge? I mean, thank goodness Angel Hernandez is retired. We could have a 9-hour, 9-inning game.
Yeah. You know, you hear detractors say that the human element in baseball is what makes the sport what it is. And they're specifically talking about umps. I don't love that. I think as much as you can take mistakes out of it, I think you should, because ultimately we're there to see the players, not the umps. Don't get me wrong. Beggars can't be choosers. I will take this improvement. What I'd really like to see are the on-field challenges being sped up. What I wonder about the challenge system in general is just as opposed to automated strikes immediately knowing, I wonder if we'll see some of the drama being taken out of the game because we'll have to wait to see which way a call goes in critical moments. Look, the challenges in reviews in the NBA have ground that product to a halt. That's a really hard product to watch because, oh, did the guy's arm come down on his head? The foul litigation within games is bad. The review system in the NFL is pretty good, but still we don't know what a catch is and what pass interference is, the interpretation of that. So I definitely will take the progress a step forward. I love that it's quick and I love that there's something, but the perfectionist in me just really wishes that we just skip right over this. What I think this is a stopgap to having balls and strikes called the way that tennis has had it called for years, which is just, it's right there. I mean, I guess this is kind of close to tennis. Charlie, you'd have to be the expert on that because I don't watch a whole lot of tennis. But when we're talking about experts, though, we know that there are some experts in Alvin who can get you set up with a Kubota tractor or a zero-turn mower. Give us a word for Alvin Equipment.
Alvin Equipment, family-owned, three generations, 75th year in business. You mentioned Kubota, the oldest Kubota dealer on the Texas Gulf Coast. So from tractors and track loaders to zero-turn mowers and excavators, if it's a Kubota, Alvin Equipment has it with low-rate interest financing available as well. Full service and parts departments, too. They truly make it a pleasurable customer experience. Just off Highway 6, alvinequipment.com, 281-331-3177. Work in, you heard them on Stone Cold Stros.
All right, guys, final thoughts before we're out the door.
Yeah, we didn't get to this last week. The coolest giveaway item I can recall hearing of, it's not the Astros, unfortunately. The Texas Rangers in May will be giving away a bloody Nolan Ryan jersey to all fans, not the first 10,000. Geez, more than 35 years ago, Bo Jackson hits a bullet one-hopper back to the mound. It splits Nolan's lip. Of course, he wasn't coming out of the game, so he pitches the rest of the inning with blood all over his. Tremendous giveaway. I guess this is ripe for comment suggestions. A couple that come to mind for me that would be fun, clever Astros giveaways. Filthy, disgusting Craig Biggio batting helmet night. Martin Maldonado bat with a giant hole in the sweet spot night. And maybe most popular of it all, a rubber rat with Mike Fire's face giveaway night.
I like it. I like that final one the best. For me, I'm going to go back to the ABS stuff. I think where it'll be the most helpful, in my opinion, is I can think of some of those playoff games, especially where the Astros go into Yankee Stadium and the pitchers in the Yankee Stadium that pitch for the Yankees are getting about an extra inch, extra 2 inches off the outside corner. And it was just kind of people just went along with it. Like, well, yeah, you're in their ballpark, home field advantage. They're going to get the close ones when they're at home. And now with the challenge system, you don't have to worry about that as much anymore. The strike zone shouldn't change based on who the home or away team is and what stadium you're playing in. So I think it's not perfect, but it gives you some checks and balances, especially in a situation like that. If you challenge a couple times and the ball's a couple inches off the plate and they get overturned, I think the umpire will be more likely to rein it in a little bit.
Good stuff. I'll dovetail off of Charlie's comments here. In the spirit of the Nolan Ryan giveaway, how about a Nolan Ryan, Robert Ventura knuckle sandwich special for burgers or subs at the ballpark? It sounds pretty good. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Reminder for Texans fans, be sure to subscribe to our other podcast, Texans On Tap. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Stros.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.